Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. But, I wanted to share this morning, there's this one little, young man. This young man went to this minister years ago, and he said, I want to know what it is to be successful in life. I want to know, he's just looking for, his purpose in life. And so he comes to talk to this minister, and the minister says, well, just follow me. And he walks them out, and they just start walking a long ways down the road, and they walk him down to this river. And of course the young man says, he's thinking, he's going to baptize me. That's what he's going to do. And so he goes down to the river, and he walks into the river with the minister because, he's thinking that that's what's going to happen. And so the minister takes him and, almost like he's going to baptize him, and takes him and holds and puts him underwater. But then he holds him underwater. He holds him underwater till he begins to begin to struggle and begin to thrust back and forth, and he's holding him down, and then he begins to fight, and the young man's trying to come up, and the minister's not letting him up. He's not going to let him up. And finally, the young man just fights the minister and throws him off of him, and he comes out of the water, and he goes, he takes his deep breath. And the minister says, as the man, young man's looking at him shocked, he says, until you're that desperate for God, nothing's going to work out. And America's not desperate for the things and the ways of God. Until you're ready to do to the last breath, you're fighting for got to have God. Everything else has got to go. You got to have God. You're never going to be satisfied. There's no money. There's no stuff. There's no things. There's no drug. There's no sex. There's no power. There's nothing that will satisfy you. Because you were created to be satisfied by God. And so you're like that man, fighting and struggling and for that desperate breath of air till you're ready for God like that. And that's what concerns me about America, because that would just be just far-fetched to think that I would have to humble myself to be desperate for God. Send him to me.
Ooh.
And I think about a young man that he was so in love with the world. He was so in love with the world, and yet he was in love with God, and he couldn't make up his mind which one he was going to serve. Was he going to go in the world? Is he going to serve God? And he had a gift, and the gift, he was really confused. He thought because he had a gift, everything is fine. And so, but he would end up walking with God for a while, then he would go back into the world, and he would steal things, do things wrong, get involved in drugs, but then he would come to the end of himself, what seemingly was the end of himself, and then he would come back, and he would say, I was wrong, and I don't know what I did, and he would repent, and then he would begin to walk with God again. And then, after a while, when things are going good, there it happens again. Once things are going good, once God's giving you a place to live, once God's giving you some transportation, once God's giving you a job, once he's blessed you, he would go back. He would take credit every single time for what God gave him. And he'd end up back in the world again. And then it would just rip him apart and rip him apart until finally one day, he was in some other state. And God had let me know. He had let me know that this was going to happen. And just like clockwork, he came back knocking on my door at the end of himself. He'd been on some long drug run. He's at the point of suicide. He's left his family. He's in a second relationship, and the family that he had then, he just left them in the other state. He'd been doing everything to support his habit. This is a man who once worked with God, but he was so in love with the world. And he comes and he's ready to end his life. And I knew the Lord showed me, and this is a sign, America, The Lord showed me that this man would come back, and he would come back at the midnight hour. The Lord soon returned. And what I'm telling you about right now, this man, he's a sign that our moments are limited. We are in the midnight hour. The Lord could come back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the midnight hour. And this is the state of America. This man is the state of America. This is what I believe he represents, the American church.
Right.
In love with the world, while proclaiming a love for God and defining themselves by their gifts. And so I looked at him, and I love him. I loved him. And I said, you know, there's hope. You can turn to God. You can turn to God. God will receive you just like you are. But I've been so bad, and I've done this kind of things, and but God's good. It's wrong what you've done. It's sin. But God will forgive you of that. He will forgive you of that. He will forgive you of what all this wrong that you've done. And he'll heal you and he'll restore you. But you got to make a decision. Who's going to be the Lord of your life? You got to determine. You cannot play both sides. You have to choose who you're going to serve. If Baal is your God, serve Baal. But if God is God, serve him. Tears pouring down his face. He just couldn't believe that he could hear about a God that would forgive him because he had done this so many times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you could just see this healing take place and this burden lift off of him. And again, God forgave him and restored him and brought him back to a place to begin him on a journey of restoration and discipleship and I gave him some things to help him get started and get his family together. His wife had given her life to the Lord during that time. Mm-hmm. And so we went to baptize him. When I went to baptize him, I baptized him the first time. And he came back up again. The Lord laid on my heart that he's going to have to get this. So just like the minister I'm talking about, I took him and I held him down in the bottom of that baptismal pool. I held him down there and I wanted him to be desperate, desperate for God. I wanted him to be desperate where he would just cry out for God and that he had a fight to come back up to the air for air. But I had another minister that was with me, felt like he needed to rescue him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to hold him down to save him. And the other minister is trying to pull him up, what he perceives is to save him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get to hold him down as long as he needed to be held down because he needed to fight for his life. He had to be desperate for air. This man needed to be desperate for God, and you need to be desperate for him. And of course, the minister didn't know. I mean, it's normal tendency. You want to save someone. He didn't know the history of this man. Well, he begins to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
He begins to do things right. God starts blessing his family, gives him a home, gives him a very nice job. And then his wife gets saved. And then all of a sudden he starts taking credit for what God has done. All of a sudden he doesn't listen. Then he begins to fall in love with the world again. Then he begins to go after the drugs again. And next thing you know, this very man who couldn't make up his mind, American church, he could not make up his mind. Do I want the world or do I want God? Can I have them both? And we're told to be in love with the world, to be a friend of the world, is to be an enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to be an enemy of God.
That's right.
And he found himself at a grocery store robbing now. You know, he'd already left the church and he'd been gone for quite some time, mm-hmm. didn't know where he was anymore. Despite all the attempts to encourage
him,
to reach him.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, we're seeing the news, and the news says that a man goes to rob a clerk, a store owner, and she shoots him, and he shoots her, and they both die within feet of each other. Mm-hmm. Him in the parking lot, and her in a store that she came from Atlanta to come to the city that she went to so that she could have a peaceful life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, church. Until you're desperate for God, this is not some religious experience. This is not what American gospel has turned a relationship to with God into. This is not only serious, this is dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
That eternity weighs in the balance. Today could be your day. You could be that store clerk and some person who's more in love with the world than in love with God can show up, but despite them wearing a Jesus pin yesterday, they could be robbing you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And because of a watered down, and you're in competition with the false prophets and with the watered down preachers and the ones who are just, you know, telling people what they want to hear. And those people, when they're struggling, they're looking around and say, well, nobody else is saying that's wrong. And, you know, and this is what's happening here. And it's like, dude, you're killing people by just not by preaching a compromised message. And he should have been just like that young man that minister took out. He should have been held down. Listen, you're going to have to go through something. You're going to have to be desperate for God. If every little wind that blows past you is a decision, am I going to serve God or not? Listen, you have to understand a big wind's about to blow. You need to make up your mind. I think about the young girl at Columbine, you know, the Columbine High School, when mm-hmm. they're going in Second Heaven, obviously took over these young men. And also took over these kids that were criticizing these young men earlier on. They were bullied kids, you know, and just playing havoc in our schools, which, you know, happens.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he's in the lunchroom or library, and he points his gun right at this young lady, and he says, I believe it is, do you know Jesus? Or do you love Jesus? Do you remember, John, specifically what the statement was?
Not specifically. I think it's, do you love him?
Yeah, but it's basically he's saying, you know, she had a chance to acknowledge him or not to acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm. Right, and she, or renounce him, right?
Yeah, and she didn't renounce him, and she acknowledged him, and then he shot her and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like comparing this young teenage girl to this man who could not even walk in the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And America can't walk in the blessing. It's like, it's the worst thing that's happening to us to be blessed, because then we start taking credit for the blessing, and then we know how we take credit for it if we're robbing God of his honor or the tithe, because if we say it's his, then we are honoring him with the first fruits, which is 10% of it,
right,
and his offerings. He says, you're robbing me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would only do that if we thought it was ours and not his.
Can't stand and be blessed.
Can't stand to be blessed. And just like this minister held this man at the bottom of the river, it very well may be where the church in America is going to have to be held under a river,
mm-hmm.
until we come up desperate for the things of God. You know, I pray, you know, that it doesn't come to that, but it's like, why isn't the church desperate? When you hear about God, somebody goes, oh, that's all you ever do. That's all you ever do is talk about God. It's like, if you have a problem with that, heaven's going to be really disappointing to you.
For real.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to talk about the one who actually is holding everything together. And it's like, dude, you just bared your fruit who you really are. If you don't want to hear about God, you don't love God. You don't know God, or you know God, but you have not made him the Lord of your life.
All right.
And it's not supposed to be a negative thing to hear about the ways of God. It's like, please tell me more. I want to know about him. I want to know his ways. And it's in tying his truths to our wrists and around our heads and on our doorpost and memorizing them and sharing them with our children, that our home and our family is blessed. And, you know, there's a spirit in the land. The spirit in the land is just very prevalent in saying, you know, despite what God says, we've done this junk so long, it's okay with God.
Right.
We've lived marriage like this for so long, it's okay for me to rule over my husband. You know, we live family so long for like this, it's totally okay for the kids to tell the parents how things are need to be run. Mm-hmm. We've ran this thing so long with family that it's okay for husbands to be seduced and to be into all these bondages and things that are going on. As if it's, you know, and it's not. It's called a deceived people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we can turn around. we can turn around. It's amazing how many men are not leading their relationships in their marriage. I'm not talking about bossing anybody around, but it's like, come on. You know, and if you're not leading, who's leading? And if she's not supposed to be leading the marriage, but she is leading, then it's not a grace for that, and it's not going to be blessed for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about in regards to marriage and family. We're not talking about individuals. And, you know, I know a lot of things are being prophesied differently than that, but you have to prophesy outside the Word of God for that to be, you know, which would not be true. And it's not working. It's not working. Look at the state of the family. Look, you know, in China, they're being forced to kill their children, and America's making a choice to kill their children. Right. Big difference. You know, they're forcing the Chinese to have just one child.
Huge.
And America is choosing. You know why? You know why? Because when children are born, they demand from you. You can no longer be selfish with children.
Yeah.
Because they are. I mean, they're brand new. I mean, here they are. Feed me. Change me. Now. Mm-hmm. Don't sleep now. Stay awake. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Huge reason why people don't want to have children. We've had someone tell us that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then so they go, well, the reason why I'm gonna kill my child because I don't want to kill myself. I don't want to die to myself. Right. I'd rather kill my children than to raise my children because it's all about me. And it's like, how long can a culture last? You know, and this was a powerful statement that was made by one of our founding fathers, and I can't nail it, and we will nail it probably in the future, and we do. We'll put on the Infant Torch the exact 1780-something date. He said, all democracies end. He said, they end when those who are in the democracy find out they can vote themselves wealth from the nation's treasury. Greed. That they're willing to take down a country because they understood if you vote the right senators and congressmen in, the right president in, the right governors in, and if they want to get in, they want power so bad, they're willing to transfer the nation's treasuries, its wealth, into the hand of the people who voted. And it's over at that point. The only hope would be for people to no longer be greedy, to be willing to lay down their wants and desires for the next generation. You have to be willing to say, you know what? Our children are going to live in this nation. Mm-hmm. So we have to be willing to say, you know, we're going to have to go through a time of balancing our deficit and doing what we need to do so that but we're people that has been known because we don't think about tomorrow that we kill our children. Yeah. We make laws to do it. And now the stats have changed so much. People say, well, the abortions are down. No, they have a pill now that people take that it aborts
morning
the child
after.
The morning after that aborts the child so they don't go in and actually have to abort.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.